woman says that these people are not related. There's no relation there. So when Jesus looks at her and says, woman, he's not talking to her as if she's his mother. She's talking to her as if somebody he doesn't know or he's not related to. And Mary was able to pick up on that shift. Because see, if he would have said, mama, my time has not yet come, she would have stepped in like a mom and said, oh, you got this, baby. Go ahead and do it. If he would have said, mama, my time has not yet come, she probably would have put on her mama hat and made a way out of no way. But because he said, woman, my time has come, she picked up on the shift, because not only did she know her son, but she knew her Savior. Yes, some of us need to get like Mary and know our Savior. That when he says pause or when he says wait, it's not a no. His time has not yet come. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And so as we continue to move, we're going to look at the next few verses, verses 6 through 8. It says, standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. When the jars have been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. Now there's a few verses there. So what we're going to do is we're going to go one by one and we're going to unpack. So let's go back to verse 6 where it says, standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. So another teaching about Jewish tradition, right? Before they took part in any eating, before they took part in any special ceremonies, there was something called a ceremonial washing, that they washed themselves and they cleansed themselves before they took part in that. And that's what these stone jars were used for. Yeah, they were not used for pouring and dipping wine. They especially were not used for creating wine, but they were used for a specific purpose. But when I looked at this, I said, these stone jars are just standing there. That's not what they're used for. That's not what their purpose was. But somehow God took that and he repurposed it. He took what somebody used for one thing and he repurposed it for something else. I'm not sure about you, but I'm real glad that I serve a God who repurposes people and situations. Yeah, he repurposes time and moments. The cancer that you dealt with that was supposed to kill you, he repurposed that thing and allowed you to come to surrender. Yeah, when the job shut down in 2020, what was supposed to happen, you don't know this, but you were supposed to die in depression. You were supposed to die in doubt. You were supposed to leave God. But what happened was he repurposed that thing and allowed you to come to a place of faith that you never knew before. He's a God who repurposes some things. He's a God who gives new purpose and fresh purpose. Yeah, yeah, he repurposed some things. Say, he repurposed some things. He repurposed some things in my life. He repurposed some relationships. He repurposed some situations. He repurposed some mindsets. He repurposed some things. And because of this, I said, well, why didn't God just create something? You do know that he's the creator, right? He's God the creator. So he could have created something. He could have very well brought down a vineyard from heaven and said, hey, here's fresh wine off the vine. But he chose to use these jars. He's a creator. He created a way for Moses in the water. Yeah, he created a companion for Adam out of the rib. He's a creator. But instead, God decided to use what he had. And some of us are in a position where God is using what he has. Yeah, he's not using your sister. He's not using your coworker. He's not using anybody else. He's using you. And what I need you to do is get in position. Get in position to be used by God. Because what I need you to understand is this. He doesn't need to create a way because you are the way. Yeah, how many people in here know that I'm enough for God to use? The Bible says that if we will cleanse ourselves, if a man will cleanse himself or wash himself, that he will be used as a vessel, purposeful unto God. So sometimes all we need to be is a willing and empty vessel for God to use. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have a perfect story. We don't have to have a that all we have to do is cleanse ourselves and allow God to move through us. Look at your neighbor and say, be a vessel. Yeah, be a vessel. Let's keep moving through the text. Jesus told the servants, verse 7, fill the jars with water. When the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. What I love about these verses is the sheer obedience that the servants have for Christ. Not one time do we see them speak. They don't give a rebuttal. They don't give a suggestion. They don't give a question. All they're doing is waiting for God's instructions. When you look at another verse, it breaks it down a little bit more. In verses 7 through 8 in the NSB, it says, Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them. And he said to them, draw some out and take it to the head waiter. And they took it to him. Fill the pots up, so they filled them. Take it to the head waiter, and they took it to him. No rebuttals, no questions, no nothing. They just followed instructions. I want to give you another point. Just follow God's instructions. Yeah, what's funny is that Jesus doesn't give them the full picture of what's about to happen. He doesn't say, hey, you're going to fill up these jars, and then you're going to dip some out, and then you're going to take it to the head waiter, and it's going to turn into wine, and there's the miracle. No, he just says, dip some out. He says, fill it up, and that's exactly what they did. Some of us are in a position of where we are because we haven't followed God's instructions. When we look in the verse, it says, now dip some out. First, fill the jar. Now, dip some out. We're so concerned about the now part that we forgot the first part. Yeah, we're so concerned about getting to where we want to be that we forgot the first instruction. Just follow instructions. Yeah, just follow instructions. Sometimes we need this play-by-play, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself in a position where I'm like, okay, God, I know you told me to pray a little bit more, and I know you told me this will happen, but I'm not there, but just follow his instructions. Holy Spirit is saying, just follow my instructions. How many of us know that obedience is better than sacrifice? Right? That's what the Bible says. So can you tell your neighbor again, say, just follow God's instructions. Yeah, the miracle is coming. Just follow God's instructions. The joy that you've been praying for is coming. Just follow God's instructions. The peace that you need for this situation is coming. Just follow God's instructions. Don't be worried about the whole picture, because if he showed it to you right now, you wouldn't be able to handle it. Just follow God's instructions. He said, I promise that the plans I have for you are to prosper you, but just follow my instructions. Don't worry about the outcome. Just follow my instructions. Just follow my instructions. My pastor, your pastor, always says this. He says, success in life, to a great extent, is based on your willingness and ability to follow instructions. When you follow the instruction of Christ, the now will follow. When you follow the instruction of Christ, everything that you need, everything that you're praying for will follow. I know there's some things in your life that you're battling with, but I promise you, just follow God's instructions. Amen. Say, follow instructions. You guys are so great. I promise you, they got me on this clock. I'm hurrying. I'm rushing. I'm out of here in a minute. But let's continue to move. Let's continue to move. Now, it says right here in verse 8. Before we move on from verse 8, I want you to see one thing here in the text. One thing here in the text. And it says, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. Say, master of ceremonies. Yeah, dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. The MC, right, the master of ceremonies, aka the MC of this time, did the same exact thing that the MC of our time would do. So what's the job of the MC? The job of the MC is to keep the agenda flowing, right? The job of the MC is to keep the party live. You know, if you go to a real good wedding, they got a real good DJ. Brum, 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 brum. Put it up, give it up for the newlyweds. Hey, who's in the house? you got your drink and your tussle. Well, not us, not anymore. That was like back in the day, back in 35 and under. Any 35 and under is in the building. Raise your hand, amen. Word Church is on 35, no, 35 and under. But yeah, so the job of the MC was to keep the party going, was to keep the party flowing. So God said, if I can get this word, if I can get this message to the MC, then I know for a fact that the message I need to go forth will go forth. And some of you are looking at me because you said, Pastor, God has chosen me to be the MC, and I don't know why. Yet nobody thought that I would make it out of college, but here I am. Nobody thought that I would break the generational curses, but here I am. Nobody thought that I would hold myself into marriage, but here I am. Nobody thought that I would do this, but can I tell you something? Thank you, DJ Khaled. God did. Yeah, God knew exactly what he was doing when he called you. God knew that if he got the message to you, you would get the message to your mama. He knew that if he fixed your finances, you would help your sister get her finances together. He knew that if he fixed you on the job, you would take that job to another level. God knew exactly what he was doing when he cleaned you up. Pastor, I come from something crazy, but God knew exactly what you could be. He saw your end from your beginning. He knows exactly what he's working with. Be the MC. Be who God has called you to be. Walk boldly and upright, saying, I know the purpose that God has for my life, and it is to share the gospel. I know the purpose that God has for my life, and although everything may not be perfect, I know that he's going to come through for me. Be the MC of your family. Be the MC on your job. God is trusting you with a mission. So be the MC. Say, be the MC. Matter of fact, say, I'm the MC. Say, I'm the MC. I'm the MC of my family. I'm the MC of my job. I'm the MC. God, use me. If you have to use anybody, use me. And that's exactly what's happening here in the text. God is saying, if I get the message to him, he'll get it out. And that's what he does. Because in verse 9, he starts calling people over. He starts calling over the bridegroom. Hey, come check this out. Hey, real quick, come this way. He starts calling people over because in verse 10, he says this. He says, a host always serves the best wine first. He said, then when everybody has had a lot to drink, when everybody's feeling good, when everybody's a little lit, they don't really know what's going on. They're a little done. They don't know what you look like. They don't know where they at. They don't know the difference between a table and a floor. They don't know what's happening. Once everybody has had their fill, then the host brings out the less expensive wine. He said, but you, my God, you wild. You wilding out here because you have kept the best wine until now. When I read this, I literally dropped everything and I said, oh my God. What's crazy is that this MC, this head waiter, this person who was keeping it live and keeping it going, he thought he had already experienced the best wine. Yeah, he thought he had already had the best wine. But how many of you know that when you encounter Christ, what you thought was the best is something completely different? Yeah, you thought you were living your best life. You thought you had the best friends. You thought you were in your best mode. But when you came to the kingdom, you said, oh, no. This surely is the best wine. And I don't know about you, but can I get 30, 40 people in here to stand up and give God some praise and say, I know that Jesus is the best wine. Yeah, I don't need a drink of nothing else because Jesus is the best wine. I don't need a drink of Patron. I need a drink of his peace. I don't need a drink of Hennessy. A drink of his holiness. I don't need a shot of whiskey. I need a shot of his wisdom. I don't need Don Julio 1942, but I need John 4:14 that tells me drink from the well that will never run dry. I need a drink. I need a drink of his peace. I need a drink of his joy. I need a drink of his mercy. I need a drink of his grace. I need a drink of his goodness. I need a drink of his favor. I need a drink of everything. I need a drink of more. I need a drink of his holiness. I need a drink of his love. Look at your neighbor and